This is the introduction for Decatur, Part 1.
Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, No Third Term for Jay Scott. Macon County State's Attorney announces he'll retire in 2020. This is in the Courts section by Ryan Voiles from Decatur. Party officials said it's too early to know who may run next year for Macon County State's Attorney after Monday's announcement by incumbent Jay Scott that he will not seek another term. A two-term Democrat, Scott announced via a news release Monday afternoon that he will retire at the end of his term, which ends November 30, 2020. The decision comes after a more than 32-year career in the office. After lengthy consideration and discussion of the matter with my family, however, I have recently determined that it is time for something new, Scott said, adding, I now plan to be engaged in a manner that will allow me to spend more time with those who mean the most to me, my family. While he was nothing but complimentary for the outgoing state's attorney, Republican Board Chairman Kevin Greenfield, said he is excited to see which Republicans step up to run for the position long held by Democrats. It sure opens the door for some good Republicans to run, he said, noting he has already heard from some local attorneys interested in the position. I just hope we get some qualified candidates to run, and I think we will. Scott was first elected to serve as state's attorney in 2012 and won re-election to the position in 2016. Scott has increasingly become a political target, especially after a lengthy investigation into allegations of misconduct made against him by former employees. Scott has always denied the allegations and called them politically motivated, especially as they first became public during his 2016 election, where he eventually defeated Republican Dan Hassinger. The allegations included an incident in which they said an employee and a victim's family members were expecting to view evidence for a pending aggravated DUI case and instead saw a pornographic video. Scott was also accused of asking employees to shuttle his children in county-owned vehicles. Special Prosecutor Stephanie Wong, a Bloomington attorney appointed to look into the allegations, announced last year that she wouldn't pursue criminal charges against Scott, but did make public a grand jury's report that called the office work environment toxic and threatening. Scott, in turn, denounced the grand jury report as slanderous and unlawful. Those former employees later filed suits against Scott. As one of the highest-ranking elected Democrats in the county, Macon County Democratic Party Chairman Jim Underwood said, Scott has done great community work through his career and deserved to be remembered fondly for his decades-long career in the court system. Underwood said, it was still too early to know who the party will support as his successor. I wish Jay all the luck in the world, and we'll hit the ground running tomorrow to find a candidate to replace him in that office, Underwood said. I'm sure people will come forward and we will try and find the best one for the position. Scott is one of four Democrats, not including the county board, who hold elected county offices. With the local Republican Party doing so well in November's election, despite statewide and national voting trends that favored Democrats, Republican officials are hopeful the state's attorney's office can be the next local office they pick up. As he reflected on his career, Scott said he was proud of many successes during his tenure, including the creation of the Elderly Victims Crime Unit, which led to the creation of the Elder Fraud Hotline. He also mentioned the creation of the Community Outreach Program and the expansion of the Internship Program. He also noted the county having a higher number of felony convictions per capita than anywhere else in the state, according to the Administrative Office of Illinois Courts, despite continued staff reductions. I would like to thank the men and women of our local law enforcement agencies for their dedication and for their assistance in keeping Macon County safer than other similar downstate counties, Scott said. During my career, I have worked with law enforcement officials from all over North America, and I can truly attest that there are none better than Macon County's law enforcement team. Monday's announcement came as a surprise to county officials like Jay Dunn, a Decatur Democrat, who served as county board chairman from 2012 to 2014 and from 2016 to 2018. Dunn complimented Scott and his staff's ability to work within the county's financial situation and make necessary budget reductions without affecting the overall mission of the state's attorney's office. Budget-wise, he has been very good to work with, Dunn said. While he has not worked with much with him, Greenfield said he has had nothing but positive experiences with the outgoing state's attorney. Jay has been there a long time, and he's a hell of a prosecutor, Greenfield said. All right, on to our next article on the front page. Music to their ears. Central A&M students learn to appreciate music with ukuleles. This article is by Valerie Wells from Assumption. Two rows of sixth graders holding bright-colored ukuleles listened as their teacher, Matthew Parker, gave them a quick refresher on how to play C, G, A, and F chords before they played I'm Yours by Jason Mraz. Can we sing? One of the students asked. Parker readily agreed, prompting the students and teacher to sing and play along with the YouTube tutorial of the song. As part of the Central A&M Middle School Music Appreciation class, Parker offers several weeks of ukulele. The four-string instruments are relatively inexpensive, fun to play, and a beginner can be making music fairly quickly. A soprano ukulele, like the students use, can cost as little as $30, and while theirs are all identical watermelon pink, the instruments can be found in all sorts of designs and colors to suit any taste. The ukulele is kind of the culmination of the music appreciation class, said Principal Courtney Heiler. We bought them for the kids to use, and actually a lot of them asked for them for Christmas from their families. Parker, a second-year teacher, taught himself to play the ukulele when he was in middle school and thought these students would enjoy it. They're really fun, said Avery Smith, one of the students who asked for and received his own ukulele for Christmas. I play it at night sometimes. Addie Enge already plays alto sax but wanted a ukulele of her own, too, after learning at school. She laughingly said she begged for one for Christmas. I always wanted to play another instrument to play. She said, I wanted a ukulele because I already knew how to play it from learning at school. Both students said they improve their playing by following YouTube tutorial videos and that there are plenty of those at all levels to help them along. Parker used videos in class to teach them also. Friends Matthew White and Drew Gerhold sometimes play their own ukuleles together. I like the sound of it, Drew said. Parker said he didn't know what to expect when planning the music appreciation course. He knew the students had played recorders, but he wanted to move them forward in their musical knowledge. The ukulele is an attainable instrument, he said. We have a study hall period, and they're always asking me if I'm free and they can come by for some help. If I'm free and they're free, I'm available. He's been kicking around the idea of forming a ukulele club, possibly open to the community, where the kids, their parents, and anyone else who's interested can meet for jam sessions and to help each other learn. For some of them, the ukulele could be a stepping stone to guitar, for example, but some might just stick with the ukulele, which has a lot more scope than people give it credit for, he said. It's not just for Hawaiian music. Ukulele is a cool instrument to have, he said. And there are a couple photos that accompany this article. Matthew Parker shows ukulele techniques that he teaches in his music appreciation classes at Central A&M Middle School. Matthew Parker teaches a unit on playing the ukulele for students in his music appreciation classes at Central A&M Middle School. He is shown with his class he taught last semester. And a third photo here. Student Trinity Sloan demonstrates playing on a school-issued ukulele for music appreciation classes at Central A&M Middle School. And some sidebar information. Three things to know about ukuleles. Origin. Contrary to popular belief, the ukulele did not originate in Hawaii and has only been around since the mid-1880s. Sugar link. It was invented on the island of Madeira, which is southwest of Portugal. Famine in Madeira led many of the island's inhabitants to accept 3-year contracts to work the sugar plantations in Hawaii, then known as the Sandwich Islands, and the ukulele migrated to Hawaii with them. Exotic woods. Ukuleles come in soprano, concert, tenor, baritone, and bass. And prices are as low as $30 for a beginner model and up to as much as you want to spend for exotic woods like koa. Martin & Company, known for their acoustic guitars, offers a tenor ukulele for $1,759, while a Kayla Soprano ukulele, like the Central A&M students use, sells for $39.99. And we move on to the local and state section on page A3 under the local government heading. Council marks transition. Tyus says goodbye. Wendy Morthland named new interim city manager. This article is by Ryan Voiles from Decatur. Monday night marked a time of transition for the city of Decatur. As interim city manager Billy Tyus closed the door on his nearly 2-decade career with the City Council at its Monday night meeting approved the appointment of longtime legal counsel Wendy Morthland to serve as the new interim city manager. As Monday's meeting wrapped up, Tyus was visibly emotional as Mayor Julie Moore Wolf and other officials thanked him for his service. He received a standing ovation from the council and the crowd. "I appreciate everybody," he told the council. "We're excited about the new opportunity, but it's hard." Tyus, who joined the city in 2000 as its public information officer, will leave the city after February 7th to take over as deputy city manager in Bloomington. He will work under Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason, who previously served the same role in Decatur. Morthland, head of the city's legal department, will take over as interim city manager once Tyus leaves and will serve in the role until Scott Wrighton begins his tenure as city manager on March 19th. Wrighton, the city manager for Streeter, was hired by the Decatur City Council on January 14th. The council on Monday also unanimously approved a plan that would sell a dozen parcels of land in the Wabash Crossing neighborhood to the Decatur-Macon County Opportunities Corporation for $650. The land is between the 200 and 300 blocks of East Orchard Street and the 200 and 300 blocks of East Marietta Street and the 1,000 block of North Warren Street, just north of Crossing Healthcare. The plan is for DMCOC, which has served the Decatur community since 1964, to consolidate many of its operations into a newly constructed building. Along with We Folks Daycare and the Anna Waters Head Start program, the group also provides senior transportation and meals, job training, and other programs designed to improve the quality of life for Decatur residents. Tyus said the city and the DMCOC have spent several years talking about the possibility of transferring land to help the latter with their social service programs. Officials view the future facility as the final piece of the social service campus being built in the area. In addition to the existing Crossing Healthcare facility, construction has started on a new building for the Northeast Community Fund, as well as a $30 million community care campus. The 17-acre community care campus, paid for through the private foundation of former Macon County Sheriff Howard Buffett, will include a 31,000-square-foot detox and residential rehabilitation building. an 18,000-square-foot outpatient treatment center, and a 17,000-square-foot transitional housing facility. Baby Talk will also relocate to an 18,000-square-foot building, supporting the organization's mission of early childhood development. We think that the addition of the DMCOC there and the services it provides, we think it would be a tremendous asset to that campus, Andrew Weatherford, president of the corporation's board of directors, told the council before the vote. And a photo that accompanies this article is captioned Future Decatur Interim City Manager Wendy Morthland Left speaks with former Decatur City Manager Ryan McCrady and his mother, Joan McCrady, in a photo from 2014. And our next article under the government heading, Budget Battle Hits Home. Davis urges compromise to avoid another government shutdown. This article is by Kevin Barlow from Bloomington. U.S. Rep. Rodney Davis learned a lot about what he already knew during a tour Monday of the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. A partial government shutdown doesn't just impact people in Washington, D.C., who work in big concrete buildings on a regular basis, he said, after completing the tour with the airport's executive director, Carl Olson. They are impacting people who work and live in our communities on a regular basis. It impacts people who rely on these services to travel to and from our community on a regular basis. The airport was the last of three stops Davis has made since Friday, visiting employees impacted by the government shutdown that started December 22nd and ended January 25th. The TSA agents do a great job, and speaking with the agents, I know they are going to do their job, he said. They are going to do what they signed up to do as TSA agents. That doesn't negate the fact that they ought to be able to get paid while they do it. They shouldn't have to rely on communities to come together to give them the basic necessities like food. There are 33 full or part-time TSA agents who work at the airport, said Olson. There are also 6 air traffic controllers. We are just very hopeful that we can avoid another government shutdown, Olson said. We are keeping our fingers crossed. Davis said in talking with TSA agents, they expressed their frustration with the shutdown. It's an interesting time in Washington, Davis said. It's the first time that I can remember and first time I would have ever thought that a shutdown occurred at the end of one Congress and into a new Congress. Davis said even though only 25% of the government was not funded during the shutdown, those positions are very important. These are TSA agents. They are our border patrol agents. They are our air traffic controllers. These are folks who work at our national parks or at the National Historic Site in Springfield and are so important to what the fabric of Springfield is and what the history of Illinois and how it relates to our country's history, he said. The 35-day shutdown centered around a disagreement over border security between the Republicans and Democrats. President Trump wants $5.7 billion to build a wall along part of the southern border. The deadlock ended when Trump lifted the shutdown and the House and Senate approved a plan to reopen the government for 3 weeks while border talks continue. Davis urged Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Trump to come to a new agreement before a February 15th deadline to avoid another shutdown. I think another shutdown would be devastating, Davis said. It's only 25% of the government, but it's a very important 25%. TSA agents are leaving the forces right now. Our Border Patrol agents, those who we should rely on to find out what measures we should rely on to protect us, are leaving and are very important to our economy and our nation's security. A private company contracts the air traffic controllers, and the company paid the controllers through the shutdown. But that's not going to last forever, Davis said. The company will have to be reimbursed by the federal government in order to continue to do that. That's why it's imperative that the message gets out to get both sides to sit down and work out a deal. Large photo that accompanies this article. Brian Armstrong left, a TSA agent from Bloomington, visits with U.S. Rep. Rodney Davis Monday at the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. Davis toured the airport with Executive Director Carl Olson to talk with employees affected by the recent federal government shutdown. On to our next article under the County Board heading, Recycling Campus on Hold, proposal pulled from this month's Macon County Board agenda. This article is by Ryan Voiles from Decatur. Macon County officials have temporarily hit the brakes on a planned vote for a proposed $7.5 million recycling campus on the west side of Decatur. The plan was expected to be considered by the county's finance committee at Monday night's board ahead of a vote by the full board at its February 14th meeting. But Board Chairman Kevin Greenfield, Republican from Decatur, confirmed late Friday afternoon that the agenda item was pulled as conversations continue about how to best manage the cost associated with the project. "I think there are a lot more questions still out there that need to be answered," he said, adding the decision to pull the agenda item came from him and Finance Committee Chairman John Jackson, Republican from Dalton City. The county's Environmental, Education, Health, and Welfare Committee voted 4-2 at its January 24th meeting to pave the way for the construction of the 109-acre campus in the 1100 block of North Wickles Road. If built, the site could include drive-through recycling, county environmental offices, a compost center, a solar farm, and community gardens. Greenfield and members of the newly elected Republican majority on the board have raised questions for months about the cost of construction, as well as the annual operating costs that are estimated to be in the mid-six figures. The plan comes up as the county board confronts a potential budget shortfall of nearly $1 million this fiscal year. Details of the project were announced last year, with the previous Democratic majority board voting in October to rezone the site to allow for its construction. The board never voted on the plan itself, and its future has become uncertain since Republicans took a 12-9 advantage on the board after the November election. Speaking Monday afternoon, Macon County Environmental Management Director Lori Rasmus said she did not see the step to delay the vote as a setback, but rather part of the process. She said she has already met with board members and will continue to meet with them in the coming weeks to look at the financial plan for the recycling campus and to look at those more in depth so we can become more self-sufficient more quickly, she said. Any future proposal will still need to go before the county's finance committee and building subcommittee before it goes to the full board, Greenfield said. He was unsure when that would occur, while Rasmus said she remains hopeful it could come up by the board's March 14th meeting. And on to our next article here, monitoring bracelet will remain on man. This article is by Tony Reed from Decatur. Blake A. Lunardi pleaded not guilty to multiple battery and rape charges, failed in a bid Monday to have an electronic monitoring bracelet removed from his ankle. The wearing of the bracelet was imposed in August as part of a $200,000 bond condition. But Lunardi, 23, argued through his attorney, Mark Johnson, that the bracelet was too expensive and hampering his life. Johnson told Macon County Circuit Court Judge Thomas Griffith that Lunardi was doing voluntary janitorial work for a church where church officials have said it could evolve into a paying job. But Johnson said he won't be considered by the church based upon the fact that he's got an ankle bracelet on. Johnson also said Lunardi can't wear work boots with the bracelet and has to do things like shoveling snow while wearing dress shoes. Johnson said Lunardi's parents are picking up the cost of the bracelet, $105 a week, which the attorney described as a financial hardship on them. He said Lunardi has complied with all other bail conditions. such as staying away from the victim and attending court when ordered and deserved a break. But Assistant State's Attorney Kate Kurtz said personal inconvenience and hardship were no reasons to dump the bracelet. And this offense is serious, she added. There was injury to the victim, and there was a sexual assault. Lunardi is accused of visiting his ex-girlfriend at her Decatur home around 4 a.m. August 5th and raping her repeatedly after punching her in the head, ripping her clothes off, and threatening to slit her throat and then kill himself with a knife. After several hours, she escaped by running to a neighbor's home. Lunardi has pleaded not guilty to two counts of aggravated criminal sexual assault involving a weapon and bodily harm, one count of aggravated battery involving a deadly weapon, and one count of aggravated unlawful restraint. The case against Lunardi was set for a pretrial hearing March 8th. And we continue more onto the local state section on page A10. Man arrested for battery on three-year-old. This article is by Tony Reed from Decatur. A Decatur man was arrested Monday after police said he disciplined a three-year-old boy by digging a key into the child's face. The 44-year-old man was booked on a preliminary charge of aggravated battery to a child. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. A sworn Decatur police affidavit said the incident happened Friday in the 300 block of South Union Street, and that the man was an acquaintance of the boy's mother. According to the affidavit, the boy's mother told police the man injured her son by driving the key into his face. Questioned by police, the man is quoted as saying he admitted to hurting the child by disciplining him because he was acting unruly. Police said they saw an abrasion below the child's eye that was approximately the size of a dime. The man was released from the Macon County Jail after posting $20,000 bond with the condition he stays away from the child's mother and residence. And our WCIA four-day forecast today, mostly cloudy. Afternoon rain, wind northeast 5 to 15 miles an hour and 41 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy and rain, wind out of the east 5 to 10 miles per hour and 36 degrees. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, scattered rain, wind northeast 5 to 15, a high of 51 and a low of 42. Thursday, overcast, rain to snow, wind southwest 10 to 25 miles per hour, high of 53 and a low of 20. Friday, mostly sunny and very cold, wind out of the northwest 15 to 30 miles per hour, 22 for a high and 14 for a low. The regional outlook, clouds and rain will increase by the afternoon as cooler weather arrives. Temperatures will still remain above normal. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. Be back shortly.